Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to jump right into the Word of God because we do have a presentation made by the board at 11, and I know some of you are thinking there's no way Pastor can preach in like 23 minutes. You're probably right, but we're going to try. I do want to extend sympathy and ask for your prayer. Miss Debbie Birchfield, faithful member of our church, her husband Jack passed away and went to be with the Lord yesterday afternoon. And so I haven't seen Miss Debbie today. I assume she's at home with family. But if you're watching online today, please know we're praying for you. And please, many of you, I know you do life with Miss Debbie. Reach out to her. Pray for her. We don't have any information on the arrangements as of yet, but we'll be communicating to you through Facebook and Realm as quickly as possible. So just keep that family in your prayers this morning. We're in a series we've titled Defining Terms. We've talked about what does it mean to be reborn, to be born again. And today I want to talk to you about another phrase that you've probably heard a lot. Matter of fact, I caught myself using it two or three times this morning already, and I thought, here I am having to kind of clean up something I'm making a mess of right now. Today, I want to talk to you simply about the term worship. How many of you heard the term worship before, right? Some of you would probably tell someone if they ask you, what did you do this morning? Well, we went to the 10 o'clock worship service. We use the term worship so often, I wonder, are we really recognizing what it really means to worship the Lord? I want to tell you what worship, let me start it this way. Let me start out by telling you what worship is not, okay? Worship is not the warm-up for preaching, right? I could really get on a soapbox there, but I won't. Worship is not just for those who enjoy music. Worship is not just an hour or two a week. Worship, despite what many believe, worship does not require song lyrics, musicians, or even an audience of people to participate. Worship is not about, be careful, my personal preferences. It's not about, now you guys are too young to know this, but like back in my day, like back in the late 80s, we used to have this thing called worship wars. Remember that? Do you sing out of a book or off the wall? And I'll tell you, some of those songs in the book are off the wall, and some of the songs on the wall should be put in the book, but you know, it's not about that, right? It's not about preferences. It's about glorifying and honoring Jesus. Last, not least, but worship is not a noun only. What do you mean by that? Sometimes I've heard people say things like this. Man, worship was good this morning. Worship was great today. Sometimes I'll go home from service and I'm guilty of saying the same thing to me. I'll say, hey, worship was off the chain this morning. You know, some people maybe they've said, you know, worship just wasn't, this just wasn't that great today. Can I tell you, worship is not a noun. Worship is actually a verb. Worship, see, if you ever say worship was good today or I enjoyed the worship service, sort of what you're saying was, without trying, is that I was a spectator to what someone else presented. But friends, worship is not a noun. Worship is an expression. As a matter of fact, Webster's Dictionary says it like this: worship is a feeling or an expression. And I really want to focus on that word expression. Worship is an expression that someone makes, whether it's through reverence or adoration, through a deity. It's more than a feeling. It's an expression. It's more than just a noun, something you went to, you watched, or you heard. Worship is an expression of our hearts towards God. And how many understand you can express your heart towards God in any place, at any time, with music or without music, you know, with a crowd or by yourself. You can still express your life before God. And here's the thing. Maybe you've always thought, well, worship just isn't my thing. I don't mind listening to the word. I just don't like worship. Did you know this fact is true? Everyone in this room, worships something. All of us, we worship something or someone. As a matter of fact, some of you in this room, you think, well, Pastor, I would never worship anyone but Jesus. I would never worship anyone but God. But there's a lot of people that even Jesus talks about. I'm not going to go into the depth of it this morning, but I could. You know, Jesus talks about some people would even worship money other than God, right? Matter of fact, Jesus, he elevates money. One of the only things, maybe the only thing, that Jesus ever elevates to the same level as lordship as he does money. He said, you can't worship God and money. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, some of people, to their expression of their life, they're valuing something as intangible as money in the same way they view God. They're not bowing down to a dollar bill or to a gold coin, but with their life, they're expressing more loyalty, they're expressing more faith, they're expressing more desire towards things that are fleeting than they are the one who is eternal. I'm just saying, all of us, whether you acknowledge it or not. Maybe you're in the room today and you say, not me, Pastor, not me, preacher, not me, bald-headed guy. I'm an atheist. I don't worship anything. Yeah, you do. You're worshiping your own thoughts above God's thoughts. You're worshiping your own belief over the evidence of Scripture. We all worship something. We're all expressing loyalty and adoration to something or someone. And so today I want to talk to you real quickly about the power of worship. And I have to put this caveat in here. The power of worshiping Jesus. Because what you worship is going to determine the power that you receive through that worship. So if you're worshiping someone else or something else, then this isn't going to apply. But if you're worshiping Jesus, then you need to know there is power attached to your worship. In Acts chapter 16, I understand that there's a danger with this scripture being so familiar to us that maybe it's going to lose its potency on us. But I want us to look at it anyway. Acts chapter 16, verse 122. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to them to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Side note, what were they doing? They were worshiping, right? They were praying, they were singing, they were expressing their heart towards God. And all the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and he then brought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" There was so much power in Paul and Silas's worship. It didn't just bring freedom to them. It presented salvation to someone else. Can I tell you, your power, your worship can be just that powerful. It can bring freedom to no matter what place you are, but it can also bring freedom to those around you. Your worship is powerful. And here's Paul and Silas. Now, I want to just set this up because I understand that not all of us always feel like worshiping in any regard. Whether it's in a corporate setting of worship like this, or whether you're at home, you just say, "Pastor, I'm just not into it. I just don't feel it. I just don't get it." Well, I hope that the next few minutes of time I'll help you get into it or help you get it, because Paul and Silas on the external have absolutely nothing to worship Jesus about. I mean, they could have owned this attitude. "Jesus, we preached for you. We set someone free." They're in jail because those who were being able to make money by being fortune tellers and that kind of thing, that Paul and Silas prayed for them and they were set free. And those who owned this person, a little bit of slavery going on here, the person that owned that person realized that since Jesus has set them free, I can no longer make money off of this person. They're costing me my money. And so they considered Paul and Silas robbing from them. And so they had them flogged, beat up, and put in prison. So here they are. They're beat up. Right? They're bleeding. They're in a jail cell. And they're worshiping. On the outside looking in, you would think, what on earth do they have to be worshiping about? I mean, they could have very easily taken the attitude that, man, if this is what I get for serving God, count me out. I mean, if I'm going to do the right thing and get bad results, serving Jesus is not for me. They could have had that attitude. Some of you have had those thoughts before. But Pastor, how do you know I had that thought? Because I've had those thoughts before, and I don't think you're more spiritual than I am. Are you? Maybe you are. Maybe you are more spiritual. You probably are. You're probably more spiritual than I am. But they didn't have any of those attitudes. Instead of quitting or wallowing in sorrow or giving up on God or just thinking, why did he leave us here? Instead of doing all these things that I would do, they begin to worship. They begin to praise God. They begin to pray. And they're not just doing it under their breath. Apparently, they're worshiping God. I don't know, maybe it starts quietly, but somewhere their worship went from being an internal thing to an external thing to where they're singing and they're praying out loud and people are hearing them. And I just look at this scripture and I wonder, why would anyone worship at a time like that? Why would anyone worship in a circumstance like that? When there's looking on the outside, there's nothing to worship God about. I'll tell you why worship is powerful. Number one, it's because, and this is why I believe they were worshiping. Number one, it's because worship is an acknowledgement of the presence of Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gave the Great Commission, and he promised it up. He followed up with this promise that says, hey, you know, go into the ends of the world, but he says, and do everything I've commanded you. But here, know this, that I am with you. Jesus said, I'm with you to the ends of the age, that no matter where you go and what you're doing, that I'm going to be with you. And so when Paul and Silas begin to worship the Lord, what they are doing is they are displaying with their worship, with their expression of prayer and praise, and their singing and their behavior, they are expressing to everyone and even to their own selves, they are expressing that they are convinced that Jesus is in this dungeon with us. And friends, I just got a community take Kate to you this morning. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you see. I don't care how deep and dark your dungeon is. Jesus is in the prison with you. He's in the pit with you. He's in your life with you today. Nothing separates the beloved of Christ from Christ. I like what C.S. Lewis says, that though it is factual that he is with us, here's what C.S. Lewis says, it's in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to men. Too many times I have thought, well, Lord, when I begin to sense your presence, then I will begin to worship you. But no, Paul and Silas, we don't know what they felt, but I like what C.S. Lewis says. No, it's the other way around. You begin to worship God, and then he will communicate his presence to you. Too many times when you say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, so what? Is that too honest? Is that too blunt? Worship God anyway, and then he will communicate his presence to you. Too much of our thoughts are about, well, I've got to wait to a certain place. I've got to wait to a certain time. I've got to have the circumstances exactly right. And then I'll worship God. When I feel him, I'll worship him. Man, I hope you don't live all your life that way. When I feel it, I'll tell my wife I love her. When I feel it, I'll tell my kids I love them. I don't know. Don't live that like that way, because you might have a season where you know you love them, but you don't feel like you love them. Right? I mean, I don't have that feeling, but you might. See, Psalms 22 says this. This is the Amplified Version. But you are holy, you who dwell in the holy place, where the praises of Israel are offered. What's he saying? King James Version of that scripture simply says this, that he inhabits the praises of his people. that when he begins to, when you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, whatever place you are on earth, the psalmist says, where can I go to escape the presence of God? If I go to the mountain, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. Wherever I am, that's where his presence is. And friends, we can worship God no matter where we are, because friends, he is with you. And when you begin to lift up your voice to his name, his presence becomes known to you. Number two, I know I got to hurry, is worship. Well, why would I do that when I don't feel it? Here's number two. Worship is just, not just an acknowledgement of his presence. It's a proclamation of his worth. Now, this is going to be a big stretch. There's one thing I think the American church in 2021 has lost. And we haven't lost it this year. We've lost it over the last 20 years. Is that we believe that worship has to do with how we feel, how it makes me feel, and what I get out of it. Now, I'm thankful that when we worship, we get something out of it. But you're not going to like it, but you should say thank you anyway for saying it. You are not the audience of worship. There's been times I've heard people say, well, I didn't get anything out of worship. Did you really think that was for you anyway? Psalms 29 says, ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Worship is not about making us feel God. It's about honoring the Lord because he's worthy. He saved you. He's redeemed you. He's healed you. He created you. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He is worthy of our praise. If God doesn't ever do another thing for you, he deserves your worship. He's worthy of our praise. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11 says, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17 says, though the fig tree does not bud, and though there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful to God, my Savior. Why? Because even though everything else is fleeting and fading, he's still worthy. He's worthy this morning. Paul and Silas didn't celebrate because this jail cell they'd been put into was so relaxing and they needed a break anyway. They worshiped him because they understood that nothing that had happened to them had robbed God of his worthiness to be praised. I'm just saying, he's worthy. He's worthy. Number three. Worship is an invitation of his power. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Jesus said, where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am. Did you know when you worship God, you are inviting the presence of God into your life? Your worship is an invitation for God to come in and move mightily in your life. And in Chronicles chapter 20, the word talks about as King Jehoshaphat, though his territory was being invaded, the Bible says that they began to worship and sing. And as they began to worship and sing, God began to set ambushes out. And all the armies that were outside of their territory trying to invade them, the Lord began to ambush them and sabotage them and take care of them. And all the people of God were doing were worshiping. Friends, there's no telling what God is doing on your behalf when you decide, I'm going to worship God anyway. I wish we could somehow get a hold of this truth that your worship is powerful and Your worship is a weapon this morning. Your worship is a weapon. I like that song. The worship team leads us in sometimes. It says, I'm going to sing my way out of this valley. That's not a, they're not saying, I'm just going to sing because I'm happy despite the world. This isn't a song about determination. It's a song about confidence in His salvation. Amen. That when I lift up my voice to Him, the power of God flows into wherever I am. Worship, I like what Jack Hayford said, worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshiped. Here's a little self-check this morning. Which way has your life been trending? Has your life been trending towards the materialistic or the spiritual? Because your worship, what you're worshiping is conforming you into who or what you're worshiping. But when what we're worshiping and who we're worshiping is Jesus, then He begins to shape our lives into the image of Him. His power becomes our power. His strength becomes our strength. His insight becomes my insight as I worship Him. Fourth, Megan, if you want to come, worship is a proclamation of His promise. You know, we're about to celebrate Christmas. Here in a few weeks, we're getting fired up for it. And I begin to think about when the angel visited Mary and told Mary that, hey, you're going to be with child. And Mary asked how it's going to happen, and they told her how it's going to happen. And her response was this. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 46, Mary began to write a song. And her song starts this way, with all my heart, I will glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. For He's looked with favor on the low status of His servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored. Mary begins to sing and praise God for this promise that I just want to tell you, she's singing and nothing's happened yet. She's worshiping and nothing's happened yet. All she has is a word from God. But her worship proves something. It proves that she believes the promise of God. She believes that God will keep His words. And friends, when you're in the middle of your jail cell, in the middle of your darkness, in the middle of your valley, in the middle of your hardship, in the middle of your disappointment, in the middle of your loss, when you lift your hands and you praise and worship God, His power comes, His presence comes. But you're also declaring to the world that I believe the word of God. I believe it's not just for others, it's for me. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you worship, oftentimes when it comes to singing, if you're singing a good song, you're just rehearsing the scripture. You're rehearsing what the word of God says. And when your spirit connects with what your mouth is saying, and your ears are hearing what your words are saying, what you're doing is you're building your faith. You're proclaiming the word of God over yourself. See, we've got to come to understand that worship is not just, it's not just about what I feel. It's not about what I'm going through. It's not a response only to how I feel. It's a response to who He is. It's a response to the fact that His presence is with me. But it's also a response to this, that I believe the promise of God. And when we lose our faith in the Word of God, our worship will wane. But can I tell you, your worship can also be a reissuer of your faith, a renewer of your faith. So today I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. I don't want to leave you with this thought. Your worship is more powerful than you know. Your worship is stronger than you know. It has potential that you don't know about. And maybe you're sitting here and you've always thought of worship as just being reserved for those who like music or play instruments or those who just, you know, they're a little bit more expressive than you. Can I tell you, worship is not about outward expression as much as it is the expression of your heart towards God. And when you choose to express confidence in Him through singing or praying or action in any place, His presence comes there. His power comes there. His freedom comes there. And here's my question of the day. Is, do you need power in your life? If you need power of God in your life, worship God. Pastor, I've been worshiping. Worship Him more. Do you need to feel the presence of God? Begin to worship Him before you feel Him. Worship Him because He's worth it. Worship Him because He's your Savior. He's your deliverer. He's your strength. Worship Him because you understand the moment I begin to worship Him, I'm inviting the strength of God, the promises of God, the power of God to come to my life. Worship Him because you've decided that every book in God's Word is yes and it's amen. And so I'm going to declare that amen by being a worshiper of who He is. I just want to challenge you this morning. If circumstances have robbed you of your worship, don't let it win. Understand, God can transform your circumstance. God can transform your valley with His power and your presence. So I want to ask you to stand together. I'm going to ask Megan to lead us in this song. And when she begins to sing this song, kids are going to invade this place and parents are going to be distracted by finding their kids. But in the middle of all of that, why don't you take a moment and just decide, hey, I'm going to sing my way out of this valley. I'm going to worship no matter the challenge. I'm going to invite the presence of God to come into where I am. Come on, Megan, let's sing that. Our kids will be entering during this time as well.
I'm going to sing my way out of the valley. I'm going to shout my way up to the mount. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm going to praise. I'm gonna push through till every life crumbles. I'm gonna dance in the midst of the rain. I'm gonna rest in the arms of the Father. I'm gonna praise. I'm gonna praise. And I'm gonna sing my way out of the valley. I'm gonna shout my way up to the mountain. I will take hold of the truth of your promise. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise. I'm gonna push through till every lie crumbles. I'm gonna dance in the midst of the rain. I'm gonna rest in the arms of the Father. I'm gonna praise, I'm gonna praise your.
So understand this morning, no matter where you are, whether you're on top of the mountain or the mountain's on top of you, God has given you a tool to recognize the presence of God. He's given you a tool to do battle. He's given you a tool to receive freedom, and that tool He's given you is worship. So don't hide it. Don't deny it. Don't neglect it. Let's be people that worship Him. Amen?
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.